On today's Locked On Thunder podcast, the Oklahoma City Thunder beat the Minnesota Timberwolves. The offense breaks out. Rudy Gobert is ejected. SGA gets 30 points again, and Josh Giddey looks incredible. We'll talk about all of it on today's Locked On Thunder podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily Oklahoma City Thunder podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Working on the weekend, let's get it going on the Locked On Thunder podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I am your host, media member, and editor-in-chief over at ThunderousIntentions.com. Ryland Styles, you can follow me on Twitter, at Ryland underscore Styles. Follow the show on Twitter, at LO ThunderPod. Email the show, LOThunderPod at gmail.com. On today's show, we're going to dive into the Oklahoma City Thunder beating the Minnesota Timberwolves to tip off a five-game road swing. SGA has 30 points again, and the young players really show up. Today's show is going to be very, very, very fun. Let's start the way we always do with our game overview. Chet Holmgren was out. Of course, he's out for the season. He did make the trip, though, and did look good in his little pregame warm-up video from Joe Mazzotto on Twitter. It looked good in that little warm-up video, and he's in Minnesota on this road trip because, of course, he's from Minnesota. Lindy Waters, Eugene Omorui were both out. Those were the only people on the injury report. Of course, Lindy Waters and Eugene Omorui are out because of G League assignment, not because of any injury or anything like that, but it is not due to injury. So that means that the Thunder got back SGA, who missed the game on Wednesday against the Spurs. Also got back Mike Muscala, who had been out with a pinky fracture. However, Isaiah Joe, Mike Muscala, Aaron Wiggins, and Jalen Williams out of Arkansas did not play due to coach's decision. Minnesota was without Karl Anthony Towns. This started an 11-day road trip that features five games, all five that are against playoff teams. The Thunder will enter and leave and go across four different time zones in this 11-day trip. OKC starts out with SGA, Josh Giddey, Lou Dort, Poku, and JRE. The Thunder five-minute getters, like who had the most 5 minutes on this team, SGA, Josh Giddey, Lou Dort, JRE, Jalen Williams of Santa Clara. So let's dive into the big moments from this game as the Thunder win, and you get a bonus podcast as where you kept every single game on the Locked On Thunder podcast. Plus, we're here 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, so subscribe for free across all podcasting platforms. Also here after every games that fall on the weekend as well. So in this one, it starts out actually with Kenneth Williams and Rudy Gobert as the lead story, not SGA, who had 33 points. So Rudy Gobert gets ejected in this game in the second quarter. So Kenny Hustle hits a floater over Rudy Gobert. The two get tangled up on the floor after the floater. Kenny Hustle gets up, tries to go down the floor, and as he tries to run down the floor, Rudy Gobert trips Kenneth Williams, and then Kenneth gets in his face and starts to fight, but then Dave Bliss, the Thunder assistant coach, and J-Dub run over and break it up. Afterward, Desmond Bane tweets out that Kenny Hustle is not the one to mess with, which I agree. Rudy Gobert goes out after just 9 minutes of play, and Minnesota had an offensive outburst. They had 30 points scored whenever Rudy Gobert leaves the game. They end this contest with 128 points scored, a lot of that due to the fact that Rudy Gobert and Karl Anthony Towns were not on the floor, so it was just Anthony Edwards lighting it up. D'Lo also had a really good game, who's been struggling some in the last couple of seasons. D'Lo had a really good game in this one. It's got to suck for Minnesota. You know, can you just imagine for a second, as Thunder fans freak out, you know, unfortunately they freak out over the SGA Josh Giddey pairing, and they prematurely try to judge that pairing. Can you imagine what Minnesota fans are doing right now with Rudy Gobert, who you traded 6 first-round picks for? And it's just not seeming to work, and they look better without Rudy Gobert and Karl Anthony Towns on the floor. It must just be chaos over there. Go listen to Locked On Wolves for more on that story and more on that pairing. But this altercation, this kind of weird situation, ends up starting a trickle effect of just 7 technical fouls, I think was called, 6 or 7 technical fouls called in this game, and just a weirdly officiated game. Minnesota fans, of course, think that this game was left in the ref's hands, but it did also lead to Kenny Hustle taking this game personally. He had his best game of a season, 15 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists. He went 2 for 3 from 3, shot 85% from the floor, and he drew a charge, his 10th of the season, which really helped kind of squander some of that Minnesota momentum and end, of course, Minnesota's possession with that charge. Kenny Hustle played really well, and he was set up nicely by his guards, obviously. And Rudy Gobert, just there's no room for this dirty act. Like, there's nothing more to say about the play. It was dirty to try to trip somebody. Even Minnesota fans agreed that it was a flagrant two and he deserved the ejection. And so you just look forward now to December 16th, where I assume that the Paycom Center crowd will not have a very kind reaction to Rudy Gobert. They booed him in the season opener, you know, way back in October. Now they actually have like a really legitimate reason to boo from this season, much less his past transgressions. So I think that the fans will give him an earful whenever he comes back to Oklahoma City on December 16th in this game. And likely that'll be a good crowd. You'd imagine, you know, it's holiday break and more people are off work, getting ready for the holidays and everything. And it's just a fun activity to do with maybe your school age children who are not in school right at that moment. So you'd imagine it'd be a pretty good crowd as well. On December 16th. So that'll be a lot of fun to watch that one. But credit to Kenny Hustle, who had a really good game. Speaking of really good games, SGA, 33 points in this one, 9 first quarter free throws. Now it only ends with 12 in the whole game, but 9 first quarter free throws for SGA. He goes 12 for 12 from the free throw line. He makes 33 points, 6 assists, 3 steals, a block, 1 for 2 from 3, 58% from the floor. Only missed 7 shots all night. He's such a creative player playing in 37 minutes in this one. The thing with SGA, I think that eventually fan bases will get upset with the amount of foul calls that he gets and him living at the line. But I want to see how they get upset, right? Because with Luka and with James Harden, it's easy. It's easy to upset those guys going to the free throw line because they're hooking your arm and that's not real basketball and it kills all the flow. The only way that SGA is getting fouls is by attacking downhill and you slapping his arm and you pulling him down and you just fouling him as he has a full head of steam going to the rim and his creative herky-jerky moves to get to the rim and score. Like, that's how he gets his foul calls. So that's a lot harder to hate on than just, you know, what Luka and Harden do. But as we know, that won't stop fans from getting upset and frustrated by their team being just abused by SGA at the free throw line. Because what's so difficult about defending SGA and watching him tear up your team is he can have nights like tonight where he misses 7 shots, shoots efficiently, gets to 33 points, and also uses those 12 free throws to do it. He can also have nights where he shoots 18 free throws, shoots like 40% or less from the floor, and still gets 33, 35 points in the game. Like, he can have those kind of nights as well. There's just no stopping him. You can only hope you can somewhat contain him, and this was his 16th game of 30-plus points, which leads the NBA in that category. He's been a superstar, and I was glad to see him back in Minnesota after missing that game against San Antonio following that fall in New Orleans. Coming up, we'll talk about Josh Giddey and how he played tonight as well. But first, I want to tell you right now about our good friends over at BetOnline, folks. BetOnline is there for you. You could have bet at betonline.net. You could have bet on this very game with Minnesota against Oklahoma City. The Thunder were 5.5-point underdogs in Minnesota. You could have bet on them to win the game outright on the money line or against the spread. You would have won either option, either bet. So keep it in mind to start betting on these Thunder games at betonline.net. BetOnline, where the game starts, the best odds, lines, news, and scores than ever before. Check it out today, betonline.net, where the game starts. We are back on the Locked On Thunder podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your teams every day. I am your host, Rylan Styles. You can follow me on Twitter at Rylan_Styles. Follow the show on Twitter at LOThunderPod. Thank you so much for making Locked On Thunder your first listen every single morning, every single day. We're here for you talking Thunder basketball. Subscribe for free across all podcasting platforms, including on YouTube as well. So check it out today. Check out Locked On Wolves as well. Again, very interesting team in Minnesota. Josh Giddey, Now, we've seen the Thunder fan base get all up in arms, all crazy, all cuckoo about how SGA and Josh Giddey fit together, which I call premature just because, you know, you break it down. Josh Giddey has played now in 73 games. And that's not yet, of course, 82. That's not yet a full season of games. And of those 73 games, SGA missed, would you say, 40% of them at least? So that is by no means a big enough sample size to judge a pairing on, especially whenever we see a pairing right before our eyes in Boston, who were questioned all throughout their development, were questioned for years and years, all while going to the Eastern Conference Finals, all while, of course, last year, or this time last year, Boston was below 500. They go on a big second half run. They go to the freaking NBA Finals, and now the Jays are inseparable. Now the Jays are just incredible. And even after they go to the NBA Finals, there was that rumor that Boston would trade, you know, Jaylen Brown for Kevin Durant whenever he demanded his trade. That, of course, didn't happen, but that was one of the rumors. So the point being, we see these pairings in the NBA all the time take time to actually work out, and so we shouldn't judge it on less than a full season's worth of games. And in this game, SGA gets his buckets, 33 points and 6 assists, 3 steals, a block on defense, playing really good defense on that end of the floor. And then we saw Josh Giddey get 21 points, 7 assists, 12 rebounds, 2 steals, 2 blocks, went 2 for 3 at the free throw line, made 3 triples. Josh Giddey made 3 threes, going 3 for 7. And while going 3 for 7 from beyond the arc, he shot 50% from the floor. This was the perfect Josh Giddey game. Played nice defense, got his rebounds, dished out his assist, and then offensively as a scorer, it was only threes and shots at the rim. That was all it was. He had 3 made threes, one at the top of the key, one in the slot, and one in the corner. The rest of his shots were at the rim, and that's how he got the 21 points. And the shot in the corner was a contested three that SGA actually set up for Josh Giddey, trusting him to shoot that three, and he buried it, and it kind of was the cherry on top of this like 22-5 run that the Thunder went on. So that was great to see him and Josh Giddey playing off each other in that role. But these two guys worked out beautifully. And you're starting to see a nice little core come together whenever you throw in Jalen Williams. 11 points all in the fourth quarter. 3 assists, a steal, 4 rebounds. Went 1 for 3. Went 1 for 1 from 3. 4 for 6 overall. He had the game-sealing charge. He is such a positive impact player as a rookie, which is almost impossible to do. He took over that fourth quarter. He dominated it. He hit a 3 in the slot. He had a shot at the elbow. He had a shot in the middle of the paint, and he had a shot at the rim. He can score at any level on the floor. He can score at any level you want him to, in the long mid-range, in the short mid-range, at the rim, at the three-point line. He can do everything on the floor. He can make these threading-the-needle passes like as one of his assists to Kenny Hustle. I'm still, right now, not sure how that pass got through. He can play make. He can score. He can defend. He can be an all-star in this league eventually. And I always have to remind you, or feel the need to remind you, Jaylen Williams is a lottery pick. This wasn't some throw-in in the 20s or a second-round pick. Jaylen Williams is a lottery pick. When you draft in the lottery, you hope that they can be an all-star, and in some slots you expect them to become an all-star. You got Jaylen Williams at 12. At 12. This guy, it's not cuckoo to say he can be an all-star. Of course, not this year, but as he develops throughout his career and as he continues to progress, he's just got too many tools to fail. We can go back and forth, as I said before, if he makes an all-star or not, because we've seen with SGA how difficult it is to actually get into the all-star game. But he can play at that level. And at worst, he is, like, his floor to me, Jaylen Williams' floor to me, is a highly impactful rotational player for a playoff team. He does too many things really good as a rookie for me to believe he'd do anything less than that. Because some of these skills you can hone in and develop to a higher stature, even if they all don't rise. even if they don't, even if they all don't rise with his progression year over year, as long as some of them do, he has so many of these attributes. He has so many of these things to pick from, so many of these things to develop: the scoring inside, outside, the playmaking, the defense, you know, cutting off ball. He has screening. He has so many different ways to be a positive impact that some of it has to consistently work out. And maybe it all will. And that's where you get to the all-star territory. But Mark talked about it after the game on Wednesday. He has legitimate, you know, all-star potential, and his defense is otherworldly potential for his frame, for his length, for his quickness laterally. He can just be such a good defender that you mix everything that he does offensively and you get a really, really good player. And so now you're putting together this core of, hey, Jalen Williams can do a lot. SGA is a superstar. You have Chet Holmgren waiting in the wings. You have Josh Giddey who can do a lot. You have Lu Dort, who had another good game. 18 points, 3 assists, 4 rebounds, a steal. He went 3 for 4 from 3, 50% from the floor. Really impacted both ends. And what a turnaround he's had since his brutal start to his season. But you're starting to compile a lot of these guys that you have a lot of faith in that can potentially be really important and impactful assets for you in the future. The Thunder are in such a good space, and having this offense, which has not been good, you know, it's not been as talented, you know, as the defense. The offense hasn't been go for 135 points, and seeing these guys kind of fit together offensively was really cool. I mean, Jerry, Kenny Hustle, Lu Dort, Poku, all got in double figures. Of course, Josh Giddey, J-Dub, and SGA did as well. Jeremiah Robinson-Earl didn't have that three-point shot falling, which he typically has had falling this season, but still got it done inside. SGA made a beautiful bounce pass to Jerry, who was wide open under the rim. But it shows that SGA, of course, has improved his playmaking. He had 2 steals, 2 assists, 7 rebounds, 14 points to Jeremiah Robinson-Earl. Pokuševski also didn't have that three-point shot working, which he typically has had this year, shooting over 40% from 3. But Poku made 12 points, 8 rebounds, an assist, 50% from the floor while going 0 for 3 from 3. He had this smooth Euro step, made this behind-the-back pass to SGA, who scrambled over to get the pass and then able to hit a mid-range shot at the baseline. It was awesome that this game all came together offensively for Oklahoma City, and they really battled in the sense of they started out good for the first time in a long time, at a good start to the game. They never got down by more than 7 points. They had energy all night, and they really played 2 different teams. Like, it's incredibly hard to game plan. Okay, here's our Wolves game plan. All right, now we got to change it because Cat's out, so here's our new game plan. All right, middle of the game, you know, nine minutes in, we've got to change it again because now Rudy Gobert is out and the Timberwolves play like a whole different team. Like, the Timberwolves play like a whole different team whenever they don't have Rudy Gobert, and then whenever they don't have Cat, and then now whenever they're just stuck with this fast, small ball lineup that actually worked offensively to a huge degree, going for 128 points. Whenever we return, though, we're going to talk about how the Thunder won this game. We are back on the Lockdown Thunder podcast, on the Lockdown Podcast Network, your teams every day. Oklahoma City saw 12 lead changes, 9 times tied. The Thunder's biggest lead was 12 points. Minnesota's biggest lead was 7. The Thunder win 135-128. OKC lost the rebounding battle 52-48. OKC had 2 fewer turnovers. However, this was a very sloppy game turnover-wise. Like, there was a moment in the third quarter where you could have just played hackety sack over the entire quarter. Like, it was you get a turnover. Now I'm going to turn it over. Now you're going to turn it over. Both teams had over 20 turnovers. Minnesota had 23. OKC had 21. But the Thunder did have 34 points off of turnovers. Minnesota had 29 points off of turnovers. The Thunder lost the points in the paint battle by 2, 68-66. OKC lost second chance points 19-10. And then the OKC lost fast break points 26-21. The Thunder, here's where they kind of win this game. They had an outstanding shooting night in this one. They shot 51% from the floor, 42% from 3, and 80% at the line. Minnesota shot 52% from the floor, 33% from three, and 80% at the line. But for this Thunder team to shoot 42% from three, a team that's abnormal, that's abnormal for this team to shoot that well from three, they're going to win most of those games where they shoot that way. The Thunder had seven players in double figures, another admiralty. And then Anthony Edwards had 26, D'Lo had 27, and Minnesota had three or four in double figures. OKC won the bet of the day, OKC plus 5.5. They also, of course, won the game outright, so won on the money line. The MVP of this game, look, you have to go Shea, but I'm going to give it to Shea and Giddy because that pairing has been under such scrutiny for no reason, in the sense of it's been too heightened over the course of their young careers, and they really gelled today, and it was a beautiful game plan and a beautiful mix of them being staggered on and off the floor opposite each other, and then also playing together and coming together at the end and pulling away late in this win against Minnesota. So that is your quick game recap against Minnesota. We're going to have a post-game podcast for every single game, and of course a podcast Monday through Friday. So subscribe wherever you use your podcast from, including on YouTube. And until tomorrow, be good and be good to one another.